Amen. You may be seated and welcome to Wednesday worship. Pastor Jamie has been detained ministering to a family, and so he has been detained in the great metropolis of Russellville. And because we have faithful police officers, he does not need to try to get back here too quickly. And so hopefully, prayerfully, he will be here before the end of the night. But tonight, and we continue on in our January study, I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture that I want to share with you tonight. And Jamie and I have kind of been talking about this text for some time. But if you'll open in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 6. I want you to hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote these words as his last words to the man who had become his spiritual son. This young man named Timothy, the one that Paul's writing the letter to, man, he had gotten so close to Paul. And they didn't have a biological father-son relationship, but they were just as close as if they did. And everything Paul had, he poured into Timothy. And he wanted to make sure that before the end of his life came, Timothy had everything he needed to carry out the ministry that God was calling him to. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, the Apostle Paul says this: "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this day, for this time to gather together as the body of Christ. Lord, to sing to you because you alone are worthy of our worship. Lord, to hear from you as you speak to us through your word and through your Holy Spirit that fills this place and that fills us who are in Christ. And Lord, we pray, just as Keith prayed earlier, that we would leave here tonight different from when we walked in because we've met with you. Transform us tonight, Jesus. Make us more like you. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen. So my wife says I'm a hypochondriac. I think she's wrong. But I got to tell you, a couple weeks ago, I had to go to the doctor. And there is nothing I hate more in the world than going to the doctor. Because I just know this is it. I mean, this is it. They're going to find it. Whatever it may be, they're going to find it. And that's it. And it's going to be over. And so I had to go because I had to get some medicine refilled. And they like to see you, you know, more than once every 16 months. And I really had avoided this guy. But he finally said, "I'm not giving you any more refills till you come back." So I went in and I had the first scary part of it was the weigh-in, which, you know, none of the skinny people laughed. I just, you know, it's just funny. The rest of us know what it's like to not eat for a while before you climb up on that scale in the doctor's office, right? And you see that thing go, well, we'll not talk about how far it went around, but So I had pretty well just fasted and dehydrated myself before I went in because I knew that I would have to get on the scale. What I didn't know is that before he was going to send me home, he was going to do my least favorite of all tests, a blood test. And so he says, "How long has it been since you've had your blood tested?" And I said, "Well, you know, a couple years." And he said, "Well, we probably ought to do that." I said, "Yeah, that's fine." So I go in, and the lab's there, and one of our security guard workers here, volunteers here at the church, is in there, and he's getting his blood drawn. And I go in, and man, I've got the macho meter turned up to airs. I mean, it's all the way up, right? And so I walk in, and I'm like, "Hey, I'll tell you what, stick him extra hard." What I'm masking is the fact that I'm trembling and about to break out into a sweat because this little 5'3", 102-pound nurse is going to jam a needle into me and I'm not happy about it. So anyway, I go in, "Stick him extra hard, da 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 da." I go out, I talk to his wife, and we're having a big old time. Well, lo and behold, they call my name, and I go in there, and I sit down in the chair, and there's three lab techs in there, and we're having a great conversation. It's coming up on New Year's, and they're asking what our big plans are for New Year's, and since we and our family are big losers, we were going to take our son to see a cartoon movie and probably fall asleep by 9. And so that was our big wild plans, and we're talking about them, and this little girl is trying to get blood out of this arm. Well, I didn't know that if you dehydrate yourself, your blood volume also goes down. So she's trying and trying and trying and can't get any blood out. She gets like a quarter inch of blood out of me. She goes, "This is all I could get." I said, "Well, my goodness." She said, "Well, let me try the other arm." So I'm fine. We're talking, you know, all these things. And she goes over here and she puts the needle in. And then she starts digging. right? You know how they do. They get it under the skin and they're trying to find the vein without sticking it through the skin again. And it's like she was standing on this thing and just wiggling. You know, somebody asked me, said, why don't you have any tattoos? I'm going to tell you why. It has nothing to do with tattoos. It is the fact that I certainly don't want anybody to color my skin with a needle. All right. She's standing on it. She's wiggling it. And I'm having a conversation. And all of a sudden, the world starts spinning. And I look at these other two nurses, or I look at the nurse who's drawing my blood. I said, are you having as much fun as I am? And I made a grave mistake. I looked down. And I looked up and I said, uh-oh. And the next thing I know, I had three lab techs on top of me, cold compresses everywhere. So they load me into a wheelchair, right? And then they take me out of the lab and push me through the waiting room. And what I didn't tell you about our security worker's wife is that she is probably the most sympathetic person on the face of the earth. And so I go right by her and all I hear, I can't see straight, but I hear, oh. And the whole waiting room turns and looks at this 300-pound man being wheeled through because of a little needle that was stuck in his arm. That scared me to death. So I pass out. I have to come back the next day. I want you to know, when I went back on Monday to get it done again, they took me in. They laid me down on the table. I don't know why there were Snoopy sheets on the table, but they laid me down on the table, and they got my blood. I was scared to death to go to the doctor, though. Part of being a pastor that I'm really not a huge fan of is that we deal with people at the beginning a lot, and we deal with people at the end. And like right now, Pastor Jamie is officiating a funeral, and that happens a lot here. We have a lot of people gathered here, and so there are a lot of people who go on and be with the Lord. It's just, it happens to all of us. The death rate is 100%. 10 out of 10 people die. We don't know when, but it happens. And I want to tell you, I've been challenged over the past several years to start living with the end in mind. And one of these days will be my last. One of these days, all my contributions will stop. One of these days, everything that I was going to do will not happen. In that song, If I Die Young, by, you know, that good-looking girl and her two brothers, whatever that group, she says, She said, if I die young, she said, what I never did is done. And that's going to happen to all of us, right? At some point, whether we're 97 or whether we're 37, it's going to happen. But that we would live with the end in mind. And this passage that I just read to you tonight is one of my favorite passages to get to preach at a funeral. And I say that it's one of my favorite passages to get to preach at a funeral because you can't always preach this. You can't always preach this text. It doesn't always apply. Paul says, I'm poured out. The time for my departure is drawing near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. That doesn't apply to everybody. Not everybody lives a life that's poured out. Not everybody lives a life where they're fighting the good fight, they're keeping the faith, they're finishing the race. That's not how it happens for everybody. And so I love when I get to preach this text. And that decision is made not at the funeral arrangement office, but that decision is made in every day of the life of the person who is now deceased. I've been challenged to live with the end in mind. And so I want to ask myself these questions. What will my legacy be? What will people remember when they remember me? What will people think of when they think of me? This January has been about three things. And when you came in, you got a cup. And on that cup, it's got the theme of January. Hillview Heights Church 2012, move. All right? Keep this cup. Drink from this cup. Preferably good beverages from this cup. All right? Don't walk around the ballpark with a beer in it, please. All right? But that we would move. And so the themes have been come in and grow up and go out. And I'll never forget the first time I came in to Hillview Heights Church. I was a 17-year-old kid. I've almost lived double that amount of time in my life. 17-year-old kid, I come into this church, and man, my life was crazy. I had a lot of stuff going on. I was making some poor decisions. I was handling some pressures the wrong way. And I got invited to this church by a guy named Terry Traylor. Terry Traylor used to manage Mr. Gaddy's Pizza, and I worked at Mr. Gaddy's Pizza. And he told me, we went to a different church. He said, man, I want you to come check this out. We've got a rock and roll church in town. And so I go, and we sat in the back under the balcony because we thought it was another layer of protection for when the place caved in because we walked in the door. Right? Rhonda, you're laughing because you know Terry, and it very well could have caved in. But Terry brought me here, and of course you see Steve, which is one of the most shocking things in the whole world. This guy who's just yelling at you with a buzz cut and little ears. He's just yelling. And he's going crazy, and he's wow, and all those kind of things, right? It's James Brown up here trying to, you know. And occasionally he even tries to dance, and we pray for him for those moments as a staff. But all, it was just this overwhelming experience. But even more overwhelming than all those things was the welcome that I experienced. There were people here who knew the things I'd been doing, and yet they welcomed me in anyway. There were people here who knew the struggles I'd been having, and yet they welcomed me in anyway. People I didn't know. People I, to be honest with you, at that point, didn't care to know. They welcomed me in. They made me feel like I was a part of this movement of God. And they encouraged me to begin living my faith. And you know, that's what happens. We come in and we meet Jesus and we begin to grow up. That's the second rhythm of this January. We begin to grow up. We begin to live out this faith that we've been called to. We get into Bible study and we start learning what God said so that, you know, we don't have to rely on what the preacher or the writer says. No, we can read exactly what God has said. That this word has the same authority when I read it than if Jesus Christ is standing in my room with me face to face and speaking to me. And he begins to take things out of me and change patterns in me and get rid of bad behaviors in me and get rid of sinful urges and thoughts in me. It doesn't mean they're all gone at once, but over time, we're getting better. One of the things I always try to do in my life is I evaluate where I am today with where I was a year ago today, where I was 5 years ago today, and where I was 10 years ago today, and where I was 15 years ago today. And listen, if you've never done that, I really encourage you to do that. It will blow your mind what God has done in you. It will blow your mind just looking at where he's brought you from and where he's brought you to. So we come in and we meet Christ and we begin to grow up through the presence of his Holy Spirit and through engaging in the Big Five and doing worship and Bible study and fellowship and service and prayer. But then there's another rhythm that emerges, and that is this. The Bible says that to whom much has been given, much also will be required. Did you know that? To whom much has been given, much also will be required. That means that God doesn't give us what he gives us. He doesn't put in us what he puts in us just for us to stay where we are. He doesn't bring us to these chairs. You remember the first Wednesday night, Pastor Jamie talked about the chairs, and there's a seat for everybody here. But he doesn't put all that in us just so we can stay in this chair. And last week we had the cups. He doesn't fill our cups just so we can say, wow, we're full. No, he puts that stuff in us so that through his power and through what he's done, that we might be poured out in the lives of others. It's an amazing thing when God begins to take one of his formerly pitiful creations that gets saved and is being changed, and he begins to work through them. It makes a noise. It makes a noise. It's not a silent endeavor. You can hear. You can hear something's going on. You can see something's going on in the life of this person and in the lives of these people that he's pouring into. I told you Terry Traylor invited me here. I'll never forget Terry Traylor as long as I live. I love him to this day. Now, Terry is crazy. He's crazy. And if you know Terry, he can be crass and he's just funny and he laughs and everything. He's just a great guy. But he invited me here. I'll never forget Karen Harris. Just a little over a year ago, Karen went home to be with the Lord. She died of cancer. But she poured into my life from the time I was a small child all the way into my adulthood. She taught me the Bible. She loved me in practical moments. She encouraged me when nobody else could encourage me. She told me to hold on. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on of the people who've poured into our lives. Well, let me ask you a question. You've had this happen to you. You've had somebody pour in. And it's made a splash in your life. The question for us tonight is not who's pouring into us necessarily. It's this. Who are we pouring into? Right now we're going to do something a little different. You should have gotten a bottle of water when you came in. I want you to get that bottle of water. And right now, just come on and do it. I want to invite you to come in and begin to pour in. To begin to pour in. To begin to take the things that you've been given and pour them out so that others may be blessed. Come on, don't be shy. Come on and pour in. Pour in. Do you hear it? Do you hear what's happening? Do you hear as you line up and you got your water bottle and you're wondering why they're making you get up in church and walk to the center and dump your water out? Do you hear what's happening as we all come together and we all start pouring in? Do you hear it? Because it's a lot louder than just my one little bottle being poured in, isn't it? It's a lot louder than just my one little contribution. But as we all come together, we begin to hear this mighty rushing sound that the water comes not only to the person and the people to whom we pour into, but it comes to a larger crowd. It comes to a larger crowd. Hear the sound of our church pouring in. You notice some of us are taller. We can reach the top bucket. Some of us are shorter. We reach the big black bucket. Some of us are in the middle and we pour in different places. Not all of us can pour in at the top. Some of us can reach a little further. Some of us can't reach as far, but we pour in where we can. Do you hear it? Dump it all in. Don't leave any. Got to fill it back up when it's time. Go ahead, dump it all in. Come on around. You can get the sides too. Pour on in. Do you hear it, church? You're going back to your seats? Do you hear it? What's happening? What's happening? That we who have been poured into, when we come together and we pour out, what happens? It overflows. And listen, not only are the Big Five affected, the next generation affected, church plants, all these things, Costa Rica, the church on Main, water plays everywhere. Is affected. And you notice something? I found something very interesting while we were all coming to pour in. It is so weird to get up in the middle of church and dump a bottle of water into a fountain in the middle, isn't it? Right? And if I came to you and I said, Mr. Duval, no, you'd do it anyway. If I came to you and I singled you out and said, hey, you know, take your bottle of water and just walk up here in the middle of service right while I'm preaching. Here's what I want you to do. Take it up here and pour it out. How many of you would be excited to do that? Just the obnoxious people. That's good. You're not obnoxious. I'm joking. But if I asked you to do that, you would be freaked out, wouldn't you? Wait a minute. No. I'm not doing that. Are you crazy? Everybody will be looking at me. I don't want that to happen. So often that's what happens in the church. Did you notice when we all came together, when we were all engaging in doing the activity, when we were all walking up here, we were all standing in line, we were all coming around this thing, and we were all pouring our water in, it didn't seem weird, did it? Nobody was extra special because they were walking up here. We were all just doing it. We were all doing what we were being asked. And let me ask you a question, church. If we would all engage in the ministry that God has called us to in Bowling Green and Warren County and the state of Kentucky and the United States of America and to the ends of the earth, we wouldn't have to prop anybody up and say how special they were because we're all doing it. Nobody would be ashamed to step out and talk to their neighbor because they would know they would have 3,000 people doing it with them. If we all do it together, man, look what God can do. It touches not just one bucket, but it touches all of them. It touches the whole world. And we can do that from right here. Or we can be content to come to our seat and to do everything we can to get filled up. We can do everything we can to get filled up in our seat, and we cannot worry about doing the weird thing and going and pouring out. And what happens? One of the questions we constantly ask ourselves as staff at this church is if you took Hillview Heights Church out of Bowling Green, out of Warren County, out of Kentucky, out of the nation, out of the world, would there be any difference? If you just took Hillview Heights Church and the 3,000 to 4,500 people who are Hillview Heights Church, if you took us out of the world, would there be any difference? I think there would. But our greatest temptation as we move forward into 2012 is going to be to turn inward. It's going to be to make sure I get my filling, to make sure that I receive what I want to receive from listening to the sermon, and to get the music that I like to hear for me, to walk out with the warm fuzzy that I want to experience. That's going to be our greatest temptation. And let me tell you something, guys. If that becomes reality, then that's what our ministry will sound like. A few random drips, a few little drops. We'll make a little splash over here. We might make a little splash over there. But we will in no way come close to what God wants from this church. God has called us to come in to Him, to grow up in Him, and to go out, to pour out the message, to pour out the love, to pour out the ministry, to pour out the life that He's put in us. You say, somebody when they were coming up, old Brad, he came up, he looked at me and he joked, he said, now I'm thirsty. He said, I'm worried that if I pour it out, I'll get thirsty. Listen, you didn't fill yourself up anyway. Who filled you up? He's ultimate free refills. And He will fill you again as you pour. As you pour. This is the rhythm of walking in Christ. I'm filled and I pour out. I'm filled and I pour out. I'm filled and I pour out. And the world gets blessed because of it. Now we can get stingy. We can make sure our stuff's taken care of. We can make sure our seat's reserved when we come in. We can make sure that our ministry is elevated. We can make sure that our task is what's taken care of. Or we can allow God to so fill us that His grace flows out of us. What does that look like? Man, that looks like the world being changed. What would happen if somebody wronged you at work tomorrow or in your house tomorrow or in your family tomorrow? What would happen if somebody wronged you in a deep and hurtful way, and instead of lashing out in revenge, which some of you are going to go home and watch tonight, the show, instead of lashing out in revenge, we lashed out in forgiveness. We said, you know what? You don't deserve to be forgiven in our heads, but I'm going to forgive you. You didn't even ask. You didn't even ask, and I'm going to forgive you anyway. Because that's what God's done in me. And he who's been forgiven much will forgive much. He who doesn't understand forgiveness will hold a grudge till death do they part. We can go out and we can live the life that God's put in us. And listen, if we all do it together as a church, it's not weird. It's absolute obedience to God. It's doing what he said. And man, it makes a lot of splashes all over this globe. Or we can do this. I believe that God's called us to something greater. I believe that God's called us to something more. And this is not for super spiritual Christians. This is for all Christians. Jesus said to his disciples, and he said to us, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That wasn't just preachers. That wasn't just pastors. That wasn't just priests. That wasn't just apostles. No, that was all of us who are in Christ. That commission is for all of us, not some of us, all of us. I told you that I tried to think the other day of all the people who've poured into me. I can't number them all. There's some of them that have poured into me I can't even remember. But I remember a bunch of them. I remember what God did in my life through them. They came at a time they didn't know, but God knew it was the perfect time. And man, they invested in me, and they poured into me, and they helped me wade through all my junk, and they walked me through some tough moments, and they celebrated with me in some great moments, and God did great things in my life through them. And the question that I've got to ask about me, if I'm going to live with the end in mind, is this. Will I be able to say with the Apostle Paul when it's all said and done and they've put me in a box and y'all come, some of you anyway, and y'all come and you look at the fat boy in the box and you take me out into a field and you drop me into the ground and you come back to the church and you eat potato salad. Will you say when it's all said and done in my life, he fought the good fight, he finished the race, he kept the faith, he poured himself out and others were blessed because of it? Well, that question is not for me alone. That's for you too. We don't know when our last day is, and so God has called us in this day that he has made, this day that he has given to us to go and to pour and to let it sound like a mighty rushing river through the world, a river of his grace and of his love and of his forgiveness and of his truth. That's what he's called us to. So tonight we're going to have an altar. And tonight, maybe you're coming in and you've never trusted Christ and you're still in that middle of that craziness in your life and you just want something to change. I can tell you that will not change until you turn to Christ. You say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you. I want to be like you. Others of you have received Christ, but you've not taken the step of growing up even into baptism yet. And it's time for you to make that decision that I will be baptized. I will be obedient, Lord. I will grow up. I will get involved with my faith and not just fill up a chair. And then for others of you, the question is this. Does your life sound like this? Is your life contributing to the overflow of this church into this community and into this county and into this state and into this nation and into this world? Or are you sitting back and holding on to your bottle, making sure you stay filled up, making sure everything's all right with you? Maybe tonight you need to come and say, Jesus, I don't want to be all about me being filled up anymore. Lord, I don't know what it looks like, but pour me out. Pour me out here. Pour me out at home. Pour me out at work. Pour me out to the ends of the earth. Pour me out, Jesus. That we would live with the end in mind. Knowing that one day, they'll gather, and they're going to say something, and we're not going to be around, so they don't have to lie. Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done in and through us. And Lord, that you have transformed us. I pray that if anybody in this room has yet to receive you, Lord, that tonight would be the night. That if anybody in this room is yet to be baptized, that tonight they would make the decision to walk in obedience. And Lord, that for those of us who have been content to sit in our seat and get ourselves filled and have never poured out or haven't poured out in a while, that you would challenge us tonight, Jesus. Challenge us to follow what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, this altar is open. Let's stand together and please come.